race fans. just putting a couple of finishing touches on the schedule. And we got a good schedule, fun schedule today, with quite a bit to do, including some recap of yesterday, as well as looking at a couple of sections of today's racing. That includes an early visit to the Pacific Northwest. It's Long Acres Mile Night, and they're running during the week. This has been a part of the season's, this whole calendar's unusual adjustments, and running at night, late at night, and during the week. So Long Acres Mile tonight, Frank Lucarelli is going to join us. And I think it'd be nice. Frank has done a lot in his career, and I think he's short one Long Acre Mile win. So see if he can't maybe get one. But we'll talk about, we've over the years, of course, we've talked about it with John White and with any number of the great Pacific Northwest horsemen. Brought it up with Mark Glatt and with the Belvoirs, and you name it. It's got a great history, and for Emerald, it's their big race. They'll also run at Oaks too, as well. So tonight late, and I will get into those specifics with Frank. There's also, of course, another afternoon of action at Kentucky Downs, and yesterday lots of good and competitive racing, and it's so interesting to watch them go up and down the hills. It'd be nice if they can get through a whole card without any controversy. Then of course the other day we had the latch accidentally let loose, the magnets sprung inadvertently, and nobody was ready. So that was a little bit of a hiccup. And yesterday, it no hiccups, unless you count a DQ that leaves everybody. A little disgusted and frustrated. And the one thing we can say, considering we talked to Andy yesterday, it does seem the last couple of, widely seen DQs, there's been pretty much uniform agreement. And in that nightcap yesterday, taking down Blame Debbie, it just seemed really unnecessary. And this is one of those cases where, the horse that was clearly best, you can't even make a case necessarily that, Sister Kitten, the horse that Blame Debbie was placed behind, you can't even definitively say that she was cost a placing. This just seemed really silly. And the horse that gets elevated, Arno Delacour and Runnymede, Catesby Clay, Campbelliza, they could have run this race 100 times, and she wasn't winning. Under those same conditions. And that's what gets just frustrating about calls like this. And so, did Blame Debbie, wander inside and down toward the inside? Yeah. But it was so much the best. What? Just crazy. Anyway, you don't have to live it through again. The stake race, the Tappet, Ramsey Solution at a nice 8-1. And what an afternoon for Wesley Ward and Corrales, who is really, it's come up a few times. He's okay. three wins together. They won early. They won a couple early in the card. And then they win the stake. They won that 20 claimer in the second, and then they broke a maiden together, the Tisnow Filly, for Three Chimneys, royal approval. That other one was for Mrs. Hay and Infinite, and wasn't taken, so they get to bring it home. The three, it's kind of funny, the three winners that Wesley sent out last raced at Ascot, Saratoga, and Belterra. There's an unusual trio of last venues. So it was fun. I just played around a little bit. I don't really dig in too deep and write up Kentucky Downs. Maybe on Saturday, but I just was kind of playing. Tina and I were sitting in the yard, and I had the laptop and just some action bets. I actually hit an exact and made nothing, and then actually caught the double between the eighth and the ninth. Big agenda for Maker, and that was that was interesting. Actually, that big agenda. If I turn to it, if I'm remembering this correctly, big agenda had was first time with Maker. Lily Kertens had this 5-year-old gelding, a data link, down at Colonial, and sent out to Kentucky, relocated to the Spectrum with Maker, and 4-1, second choice, but still paid $10.40. Century went off favored and arrived on the scene a little too late, and then Ramsey Solution paid $18.20, which was a nice number. I kind of spread around with a handful of horses. And paid okay, paid 80 plus. So fun at Kentucky Downs, and today the 2 3-year-old events for nice money, say the least. $750,000 Dueling Grounds Derby, and the Dueling Ground Oaks, $500,000 for the girls, including Harvey's Little Goyle back on the turf for Bill Mott. And this is a nice field. And actually talked a little bit to Mike Stidham over, not just on the air this week, but on TV too. And Stidham has got both that nice Michelin and Embossed lining up in here. This is a very nice field for both races. Maker, heavily invested on the card again today and in the stakes, so we'll get a chance to look at some of that in a little bit. Let me get some of the other things that went on. It was a busy day, and there was quite a bit of off the racetrack news, and of course the sale. And we expect that we're going to talk to Christy DeBernardis of TDN. We'll talk to her at the bottom of the hour after Frank visits with us, and then Dick Powell. We've got the first two meetings in the books already. It didn't take long for Hong Kong to get rolling. Sha Tin Sunday morning, and yesterday, Happy Valley. So we're underway, and we'll get some early reads from Dick. Plus, we'll get his Saratoga wrap and any of his Derby Oaks thought. Tony Black, of course. We'll get Tony in here. And Steve Askin, we'll get Steve's postscript to Derby as well. And then in hour three, we should have a fun close and last 45 minutes, hour, really the whole 3 hours. Steve Crist, as promised. Steve Crist is going to join us around 11:15, and we'll talk about his first win as an owner. Very, very cool and delighted. For Steve and for Phil Gleaves, and Thin White Duke breaks his maiden in a stake. Gotta be thrilling for Steve. And you know, this was a horse that they, you know, they've got a couple, two or three, I think, that they're campaigning with Phil. This is a horse that Phil bred, a Dominus. And we have to find out who the big, we have to find out who the big Bowie fan is too, right? Thin White Duke. So Steve Crist, and also as promised, Louis Mendez. And we're going to get a window. Might be tricky with Louis because he gets on his horses. He gets on his, you know, typically his young horses. And Dr. Scheivel and the win in the Del Mar Futurity for Mendez. And you know, it's a bittersweet scenario. The horse, you know, with the new, you know, Rancho Temescal, Red Baron's barn, buying in, leading up. And so you're going to get moved to Mark Glatt. And at the same time, I mean, this is one of the things that developers of young horses are known for. This, you know, you get a horse started and attract attention. But in this particular case, it gives Mendez a chance to win his first graded stake. And not only is it a first graded stake, it's a grade one. So pretty awesome and very pleased for Louis. And of course, Hammer had given you the heads up on Mendez even last year as he started to send horses out under his name. So the author of the grade one success. And in fact, I'm just speaking of that success and some of the things we talked about with Sid yesterday, including the stallion portion of the grade ones over the weekend and Dr. Scheivel by Violence and Not This Time for Princess Noor, Nyquist for Vequist, and McLean's Music for Jackie's Warrior. And all of those figured in to, or most of them, figured in prominently to the sale results yesterday. And actually, we're going to start with Christy DeBernardis. She's on her way to the sales grounds for TDN, and we're going to get her in first while we can. Because she's got a tricky schedule. So we'll get to Christy first, then Frank, and then Dick Powell. It's funny because Christy had me kind of tap dancing around to move because Frank originally was 6:45 after Dick, and we were hoping to get Christy in first, and you know, all that kind of stuff. While Casey gets Christy in here, a couple of things that caught my eye, and we'll probably reach out to Jack Carava. And word came yesterday that Jack is going to end, or at least pause, the training career. And he's got the chance to become the agent for Tyler Bays. And Bays coming back to the West Coast after a pretty darn successful run at Oaklawn and in Kentucky. And, of course, Bays the other day with that nice win for Michael Ann Ewing. So I thought this one kind of took by surprise a little bit. And we'll definitely talk to Jack. And, you know, Jack has won 1,100 races. 1,100. And he's only 54. And a guy that everybody respects. So if Jack Carava wants to do this, he'll be just as successful doing this. And he mentioned that, you know, he's had a lot of success with Bays riding for him. So we'll get Jack on and talk about it. And also, as Christy DeBernardis joins us from the TDN, I'll mention that the bill, the Tonko Bar bill that we talked about extensively last week, got went through the markup phase yesterday and is headed to the Senate and House floors. And it seems like it's got, you know, all the trappings that it requires to go forward. So as expected. And as it, I won't even say as expected, because who knew, really? You could tell yesterday when we talked to Boyd Browning that Boyd was, you know, a little, you know, he was hopeful and unsure, though, about what to expect from the sale. And day one, including, of course, all the New York breads that cleared through the first half of day one, and then the open portion of the select sale, which seemed to really get plenty of momentum, including one seven-figure seller, the Quality Road that we had mentioned to Boyd as one of the notable hits. Christy DeBernardis joins us from TDN. Christy, good morning.
Hi, Steve. How are you?
Excellent. I appreciate the visit and snapshot of yesterday. What was your sense going in? And, you know, just talk about kind of the flow of the of day one.
Well, Steve, it was a little bit hard to judge going into the sale, being that it was basically a combination of three sales, the July sale, the Saratoga sale, and the New York bread, put into two power pack days. So starting yesterday, as you mentioned, the first 330 hips were all New York bread. So things were a little bit slow, I mean, but that's judged on how that sale normally goes. There was a lot of RNAs early, and, you know, I think people were a little anxious, but the first open hip of the sale was a horse of Carrie Brogdon's and Into Mischief Valley, and she sold for $450. So that kind of was the right way to get things started, and it only picked up from there. As you said, we had a seven-figure seller, lot of expensive Into Mischief, so I think that it really set things up to have a big day today. And from what I heard on the sales grounds yesterday, everybody kind of expected today to be even busier than yesterday, that they were saying a lot of the better horses were selling on the second day.
Well, and on that front, I mean, I went through the, you know, alphabetically, sort of the way I approach it, and, you know, take notes and print out individual, you know, individual stallion results. And there were a couple of notable things, and we can talk about some of the big sellers. And with you referencing the, you know, the potential for today, and even, you know, the somewhat positive, fairly positive numbers from day one, Bill Oppenheim had a really interesting statistic, kind of a, you know, a calculator math, that essentially, looking at last year's numbers and then sort of agglomerating what happened yesterday, he said the average essentially was identical. He thinks the market is absolutely even with last year, which I think everybody would be pretty happy with.
Well, I think it's kind of hard to compare to last year, Steve, as I said, just given that it's the three different sales together. But, you know, seeing any continuation of last year's market to now is obviously a very positive thing, given the times, because a lot of what sellers were saying yesterday was you have to think about COVID pricing, or this horse could have maybe brought $100,000 more in another market. So, you know, I think it's just very hard to make comparisons given the different setup of the sale.
Well, a couple of the numbers that drove yesterday, before we look at what might be key to today's action, the $1.5 million Quality Road filly that Joe Allen picked out and Robbie Medina signed for, consigned by Hill and Dale, and, you know, this is really kind of a Joe Allen type boutique-y mare potentially.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, as we know, I think actually John Sakura said it best. Joe Allen's a collector. He's one of those breeders that collects those high-quality fillies. So obviously this mare was purchased. I mean, I'm sure, of course he'll race her, but with the broodmare shed in mind. You know, he obviously is known for Warfront. She's the kind of filly I'm sure will go to Warfront, as that cross has been very good in her family in the past. And a lot of Galileo. Obviously she's got a lot of turf in her pedigree, and Quality Road can run on any surface.
You know, the big engines essentially were in place at the top of the market, and, you know, the sellers for over you know, let's say for over 300, 400 and above, you know, the Curlin filly out of our Christie, Donato Lanny, and Baffert, for Michael Lund Peterson, for instance, and, 700,000, 700, Demi O'Byrne, the Into Mischief Colt, the Warfront for 6.25 filly. You know, talk about some of the, you know, the big numbers and some of the big names early.
Well, Into Mischief was the name of the day at the sale. That's for sure. Like I said, you mentioned there was the $700,000 colt that Demi O'Byrne bought. As I previously mentioned, Kerry Brogdon had a $450,000 Into Mischief. There were several Into Mischiefs going between the, I would say, 350 to 7 range. Even Spendthrift bought in on one. I mean, obviously, Into Mischief's been as hot as he could be, and Authentic only pushed him over the edge. So I think Liz Crowe said it best, you're not going into the sale thinking you're going to steal an Into Mischief anymore. Obviously, no. Then, like you mentioned, the Quality Road who topped it, the Curlin filly that Donato bought. There was a Nyquist that sold for $510,000. So that was a very good score, especially the gentleman who bred it at Blackstone Farm bought the mare as a yearling for $17,000. She had some imperfections, so he bought her with the breeding shed in mind. And this was her first foal, so really hit it out of the park there. And I'm sure he was only helped by the fact that Nyquist had his first grade one winner over the weekend. Actually, he had the first and third in the spinaway, so that pushed him further. There were actually a few Nyquists that sold for good money, one in the $400,000 range, and I think there was one for about $3,000 as well. So he was very popular, and like I said, I'm sure his recent success only pushed him over the edge, but he was pretty popular before he had runners, too.
Well, and you mentioned the Nyquist that went for $510,000, and out of Perfect Note, one of, you know, just a couple of the first crop sires to invade the, you know, the top 20, let's say, top 25. And Nyquist did it a few different times because there was the Spendthrift buy of the filly Hip 299 for $350. There was Breeze Easy taking one for $3.25. The other names that jumped out at me as I kind of scrolled through, Classic Empire, who you know, had plenty of anticipation coming in, and Practical Joke. Those three seemed to be the first crop sires that had a great day one.
Yeah, you know, Nyquist had his first crop is running now. They're 2-year-olds, but Classic Empire and Practical Joke, their first crop is these yearlings. So it's always interesting to see, especially with horses that don't have runners, what their popularity is like. Practical Joke, I noticed, I was at the Saratoga Fall Sale with the weanlings, and he was extremely popular there. So I'm, you know, not really surprised to see that continuation. And the two Classic Empires were actually pretty good pinhooks. One was a weanling to yearling, and the other one, Troy Gladwell had bought the mare with the foal in utero for about $57,000, I believe. Hmm. So, you know, these stallions are, I don't think they're a surprise to anyone. I mean, obviously, Practical Joke is son of Into Mischief, who's the hottest sire in the country right now, and Classic Empire by the late Pioneer of the Nile, who obviously has had stallion success with American Pharoah. So I don't think anyone's entirely surprised to see these horses succeed, and it'll be interesting to see if they translate this into the 2-year-old sales on the racetrack.
Well, 5 Practical Jokes for 6 figures, and the two highest, 320 and 300. And then today, there's 1, 2, 3. There's another 5 that'll go today. There were a few outs. And then when it came to Classic Empire, a little bit more of a variation. There was the 375 and the 3.25, but then there were also, you know, a handful of RNAs and a 50 and a 17.5 private sale. In fact, our friend Joe Vellante's son, Christian Vellante, bought that one. And then, you know, you look at his potential today, we've got 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 more Classic Empires today. So he's certainly got to be watched. And then, Christy, I got to mention a couple of names that had, you know, that haven't even scored yet. Gunrunner has got 10 in today, and his babies are anticipated.
For sure. I mean, he had a very good weanling sale last year, Gunrunner. He was very popular. Mike Ryan bought one for, I can't remember the exact number, last year. I want to say it was somewhere around $700,000 or $800,000. So, I mean, I only expect that to continue. Now, obviously, Candy Ride, his sire, is also exceptionally popular. So, you know, I think he's only set to succeed from here.
There's a couple of other names, and when you talk about the weanling, you know, kind of making a mark as with the weanling sellers, Mastery on that topic, and keeping an eye on those. Lord Nelson with a whole bunch in today, and this came up yesterday when we talked to Sid about you know, being Lord Nelson as a son of Pulpit. And what potential he's got. I thought Cupid seemed to, you know, get, you know, a couple of scores on the board. And I'll give you a bit of a sleeper from limited numbers.
Cupid.
Midnight Storm.
Midnight Storm. Yeah, like I said, I think we're going to see more by those stallions going into today and then going into Keeneland, especially. You know, they didn't necessarily hit the toppers just yet, but again, Cupid is son of Tappet. Coolmore is obviously knocking it out of the park with these first crop sires already. So, you know, I think it's a wait and see on some of those, but I agree that they could be a little bit under the radar.
Who do you like that hasn't necessarily, you know, doesn't necessarily have a bunch showcased these 2 days? But, of course, when you get into, you know, Keeneland Book 3 and Book 4 and you know, you get into, you know, the big box store next week, there'll be some. And there'll be somebody, there always is, Christy, there's always a couple of these sires that kind of catch a wave. And people, you know, start to notice that, you know, the weanlings turned into good-looking yearlings.
You know, I really haven't had a chance to walk around Keeneland yet myself and take a look at much, but, I've heard really good things about Connect, and I've seen a few of them. I like what I've seen, and also Unified. I saw some of his weanlings last year, and, you know, I think he could be one of the under-the-radar stallions. As you mentioned earlier, I was able to see several of his weanlings, and he's just throwing some really nice babies who only look like they should develop more and become even nicer as yearlings.
Nice. And you know, another one that seemed to, you know, I always like to see or am encouraged when, even if it's fairly small money in the, you know, in the $40,000, $50,000, $75,000 range, when stallions, when they sell through and they might have, you know, four offerings and all four sell, that's always a good sign. I mean, it means that, you know, they were priced reasonably and people liked what they saw, you know, that part of it. Klimt, kind of interesting to see where Klimt goes as the fall proceeds.
You know, and on that topic, that reminds me, Gormley. I've seen two or three of them. Hmm. And again, they were, you know, some under-the-radar weanlings where maybe they didn't sell for high prices, but they all kind of sold for a good average, and a lot of them were getting the job done and getting sold, as you said. So that could be another kind of sleeper.
I like it.
That people are not going to think about as much going into next year.
Well, we've got a lot of strong siblings that are going to go through the ring today, including the half to Swiss Skydiver, the half brother. You got a half sister to Mia Mischief. You've got how about the Violence Colt? They have to Kafefi. This should be, there really should be quite a few fireworks today.
Yeah, this is definitely setting up to be a big day. As you mentioned, the half to Swiss Skydiver should be popular. This is also a new stallion. I know Jane Lyon at Summer Wind has three really nice yearlings in today. One of them is a full sister to Carolina, who I've actually been able to watch grow up, and she is just stunning. She also has a Tappet out of a half-sister to Unrivaled Belle, so bred the same as Unique Bella, who is another beautiful first foal. The China Horse Club has bred a Curlin out of Yellow Agate, who was a grade one winner for them in the Prezet. I've heard a lot of great things about that one. There's a Mastery that's a half to Sharing. And again, Mastery is one of those that's been very popular. So given that pedigree on the bottom side, there's no reason. It was also a $550,000 in utero purchase. So you would think that one is going to do very well. There's also an Into Mischief half to Princess of Silmar. And given Into Mischief's popularity, you would think that would be one that everybody's looking at.
Well, and when you mention the tie to Carolina and the tie to sharing, I imagine that that Aaron Wellman and partners might be interested in either or both.
Yeah, Aaron Wellman actually bought the colt out of that mare, who is a full brother to Carolina, and he's in training with Todd Pletcher. So I'm sure they'll be coming back to the well and looking at this filly.
Well, and that's always, you know, when you guys all do such a great job, and Brian DiDonato and Jess Martini, and you guys are combing the sales grounds for these stories, and you know, there's always those themes where, you know, certain buyers and certain agents, they've got certain families and you know that they kind of rely on or tie in. I thought the piece, you know, I'm not sure if you wrote it or Brian did, about Mike Ryan and his connection to Nyquist and how he was, you know, basically was taking the temperature or the pulse and was out in front of Nyquist, for instance.
Yeah, I spoke to Mike about that piece.
There you go.
So, you know, it's always nice to see the connections come back.
Well, back under gavel today, 10 o'clock, they start day two of Fasig Tipton's combined sale. And July and Saratoga meshing into one, and a good start yesterday. And it looks like today set up to be full of fireworks. We'll be following Christy and everybody at TDN with there'll be all kinds of alerts. The phone will be jumping on the table today, I expect.
Yeah, that's what it looks like. We should be very busy.
Christy DeBernardis, everybody, part of the terrific team that the TDN offers you, just the wall-to-wall coverage when it comes to the sale and all the sales and, you know, the relationships with the consigners and with the breeders. And you got to read. I mean, I print these all out, so, you know, every sales day is about a 14-page novella when it comes to telling the story. So, Christy, enjoy today, and then you get a slight freshening before Keeneland runs for a fortnight.
Something like that, yeah.
It'll all be a blur at a certain point next week, right?
Yeah, yesterday felt like about 3 days in one. So, you know, that's just how it goes.
Christy DeBernardis, everybody, from TDN. Christy, thank you so much for this.
Thanks, Steve. Have a great day.
You too. We'll be watching, and we'll give you all the follows when it comes to the TDN team. Let's stay right here, and I promised you we were going to go to the Pacific Northwest. Really, one of the great long-running races in the country, the Long Acre Mile, and Frank Lucarelli joins us. Frank, good morning.
Good morning. How you doing?
I'm good. Frank, you know, over the years, you know, with you and John White and Mark Glatt and the Belvoirs, you know, we talk about this race every year. It's kind of a celebration of the continuity of racing in the Pacific Northwest.
It is. It's a great race. And, you know, ever since I was a kid, everything was the Long Acres Mile, leading to the Long Acres Mile. So, you know, it's a big day, unfortunately, with this day in our world here going on. We won't be fans out there, but it's still a good field of horses. It's going to be a great race.
You talk about, you're really kind of hinting at, you know, at what it means to the horsemen. And this is one of those races that is a showcase. And you know, you've been trying to win one. I mean, talk about what it would mean to win a Long Acres Mile.
Well, I think it's about the only race I haven't won. And,
right.
And I'd love to win it. I've run second. I got beat ahead one time in it, and then I run second, got beat four or five lengths, but in a third. But haven't had a whole bunch of opportunities. And, you know, I have a chance today with Elliott Bay, and he's going to have to run, you know, the race of his life, but with a couple of these horses shipped in here. But, you know, it would be nice. I mean, it's like I've always said, it's something you always think about them from the Northwest. I love Emerald Downs. I love Long Acres. I'd rather be here than anywhere, and it's one of those races I'd certainly like to get on the resume.
No doubt. And you know, you talk about the longevity. I mean, this is the 85th running, and it gives you an idea. And Long Acres, a place that when you see pictures, and you know, you and I have talked about it, mentioned Glatt and Belvoir and John White, the place was, from what I can tell from pictures, I mean, just incredible. And those trees towering, you know, around, and it just looked like an absolute gem.
It was. You know, it's been a few years now, but I, you know, it's one of those places you just love to go. Love to go to the races, love to sit out in the benches, love to just be there. And it was. It was a beautiful setting and a beautiful racetrack. And, you know, unfortunately, as we all know, it's been gone for a while, and Emerald has taken over and, you know, has a whole different feel to it. But it's a great spot, and they do a great job here. So, you know, at least we're continuing racing in the Northwest, and you know, it's great.
Well, and you know, Frank, when we talk to you, there's lots of, you know, there's lots of sidebars to, you know, to your you know, coming to the horses, and you know, this has been a funny year for professional sports, and of course you could have ended up in the major leagues pitching if you know, if things got a certain way. Talk about your young days and you know, your aspirations when it came to the diamond.
Yeah, I was I loved baseball. I mean, like every kid that loved the sport, you know, they're always thinking they'll be a professional and they want to do this and that. And of course, I had those dreams, and you know, I had a pretty good run for a while in college, and then, you know, in the minor leagues for my first year, I had a pretty good year, and then things didn't go so well. But, you know, I had racing in my mind all the time. I mean, from the time I was probably 15 or 16, I said, I'm going to play baseball as long as I can, and I'm going to train racehorses, and I've been able to follow that path. And I got released in 79 in Bakersfield in a long A season in August, and within about a week after that I had my trainer's license, and I had an opportunity to go back to a couple camps and try out, and I just said, you know what, I'm making $500 a month, I'm 22 years old, I said, I think I'm going to try something else. Of course, horse racing, that $500 a month didn't look so bad the first few years I was training horses, but it turned around, and I've been able to support my family fine in this business, and I love what I do. I'm 63 now. I have zero plans of ever not doing this, and I just love, I love coming to the track every morning. I love going to the races. If I don't run a horse, which isn't very often, I still go to the races. I mean, I like it. So that's where I'm at.
I love it. Who'd you play? Anybody that you played with in the Pirate organization going back that went on?
You know, there wasn't many. There was one guy that came from an independent team that made it to the majors and played. And there's probably been a few others. I didn't even follow it that closely. And you come across, you're jumping a team to a team, and you come across a lot of guys that you meet and forget, you know, and stuff.
Sure.
But, yeah, nothing too big that I remember.
What, you know, had, I know that the family, your family had owned some horses, but, you know, there wasn't anybody that was on the racetrack, was there, in the family?
No.
To get you involved?
No, there wasn't. My, we moved from New York. I was born in New York, and, my dad owned a little piece of a horse, and he came here, and he always had part of a horse, and my uncle had a little farm out in Redmond, Washington, and he bred a few mares, and you know, I used to just go out with my dad when I was very young, and go out on the Saturday mornings. I'd get out of bed in the morning and go with him to the track, and you know, how owners come out and hang with their trainer, watch their horse, go have breakfast, you know, that kind of thing. And I just love the feeling and love the being around it, even at a young age. And I don't gamble, rarely gamble. Once a year, I'll have something going that I throw a couple bucks. But I it's not about that. It's just the business. I love it. The competition. I like looking for horses to claim and buy and try and move up and do some things. And it's just to me, it's a great business, and I just love the game. And my dad, you know, I used to hang out with him and go to the races a lot. And shoot, I was bringing a racing form to school, you know, which wasn't the best thing to bring, but I did have something to read. So anyway, it's been a good run. I'm not sorry about anything in my life.
Well, and you know, for those that that don't follow as you know, closely the Northwestern circuit, and certainly, you know, Frank, as you know, you've brought horses over the years, you know, down to Southern California, and you know, think about Gallant Sun, for instance. We talked about and Stormy Lucy, another that won the Santa Ana, but you know, you're going to pass 2,000 wins in not too long. That's a pretty healthy career of you know, career victories.
Yeah, it seems kind of strange when you think of that many wins, because you know, you think if you win 40 or 50 a year, that takes a long time to get to, you know. And, so I mean, yeah, I don't look at those things. You know, we show up every day and try and win as many as we can, and we get mad when we don't. We ran 4 seconds yesterday, and I've got I'm overloaded with seconds this year, and I'm like, you know, god darn, but, you know, it is what it is, and just keep battling. We got 10 horses in today and one in the Long Acres Mile, Elliott Bay, and so all I can do is try and go out and win a few.
So, there you go. And, well, and he's, yeah. And he's on a bit of a roll, too. Right? He's won two straight. He won the Mount Rainier, and you know, he hasn't won at a mile, but he's been competitive at a mile.
Yeah, and he can run a mile, and I actually like him better coming off sprints to a mile. I think he'll run a better mile first time than he would if he's been routing, honestly. And I like the, you know, the third race off a layoff scenario. That's always something I always think is pretty good. And he's coming into the race good. He's, you know, buyers-wise and horse-wise, he's going to have to jump up. There's two or three in there. They're just better horses than him if he doesn't improve. And, you know, so he has to have the best day he's ever had, and a couple of these maybe not the best day they've had. So, I mean, we're not going to be the favorite in there. But he's coming into it wonderfully, and I think he'll show up today and run a very good race.
You know, and you think about this, looking back to last spring when you claimed him, and 50,000, and you took him off of Howard Belvoir. You and Howard poach each other, I imagine, over the years a few times.
Yeah, he's got a few from me, and I've claimed some from him, but it's got nothing to do with a makeup claim or nothing. You know, I just look for horses. I don't, guys claim from me, and it is, you know, that's fine. I run a lot of horses. I'm going to lose a lot. I claim a lot. So I don't hold any personal thing. Guy takes two or three from me, and I'm just, okay, so what the heck? I'm trying to take an edge, and probably not a bad guy to claim from. So there you go. Yeah, Howard's claimed a few, and I've claimed a few. We have, Howard and I talk all the time, wish each other luck, and chat a bit, and there's no personal things there going about any of that. But, yeah, I claimed him from Howard, and he ran his first race last year, and he was in trouble, and he was just moving on. I said, you know, my owner was looking for something maybe to run in stakes, and he said, well, this horse was a good two-year-old, and then you know, he came out running with his first start, and 50 was kind of right on the edge of maybe too much, but we took him, and then we didn't have a very good year with him. He kind of just never got on track, and then we turned him out, and he's come back running a lot better for us. So, you know, we're happy. It looked like for a while there we were made a bad move, and now we're looking okay on it.
Well, you know, I'm looking at the figures, and, of course, the horse to beat, Blaine Wright, shows up with Mr. Redicop's classic runner, Another Twist of Fate. And, of course, yeah. You know, came out of San Francisco last year, the El Camino winner, then the Sunland Derby in Lexington, the Preakness went awry, and he's been on the shelf since, and he's been getting ready at Golden Gate on the Tapita. But I'll tell you, I'm looking at numbers. Frank, you're competitive here. I mean, he's got every chance.
Yeah, he does. I mean, a couple of these have, you know, five-star general from Canada. He's the reason. Another Twist of Fate. Those are the main three that are coming in. I think my horse is as good or better than any of the local horses. And I'm, you know, anytime Another Twist of Fate's been away, what, 15 months or something?
Yeah.
And, you know, Blaine, I'm sure, has him ready. I've seen the horse working in 10 and change at Golden Gate, which is monstrous work at Golden Gate. And, the horse looks fabulous. He schooled yesterday in the paddock. And, you know, they wouldn't be here if they didn't feel like he was ready to do his thing. So they're I'm sure, very optimistic about their chances. But, you know, again, that 15 months off and things can happen. So, you know, that's probably the best part in our side is that something could happen off of that long and not quite be ready. But he's definitely a very good horse and a horse to beat.
You know, I got to bring up Herbie Martinez too, who's riding with you, and you've got a lot of confidence in him. He's a bit of a go-to for you, and you got fact with all the with as much as you ride him, you guys have a positive ROI.
Yeah, he's done well for me. You know, I kind of went to him this year and a few, and Matthias rode a lot of horses. Matthias was riding this horse, and then he had to take off him to ride Barkley, and then Herbie won the stake on him. So, you know, he's back up on him. But yeah, we've had a pretty good luck. You know, he's worked out well. Every now and then you ride this guy and you ride that guy, and then all of a sudden a guy clicks with you and you have some good luck. But yeah, we've done well together. He's rode really well for me. I mean, you know, a lot of times us trainers like to blame the riders when we get beat and stuff. But my brother's an agent for the guys I've been using most of, and I told him I can't hardly complain this year about my rides. I mean, these guys have ridden really well in Herbie, and I have had quite a bit of luck. So hopefully we can get a couple more today.
Well, Elliott Bay, 8-1, and his natural speed coming off the sprints I would imagine he's going to gain, you know, some early position. Doesn't have to be right up on the lead. He's actually going short. He's one on the lead, and he's one from off the pace. So it looks like he's tactical. It feels like Herbie will have some options. There is the outside speed, but since we're talking to you, we're rooting for you.
Oh, good. There you go. I appreciate it. Yeah, there's a lot of speed in there. I mean, there's some good speed, but we'll, you know, my owner asked me, he says, well, how do you feel about the one hole? Because I always, there's sprint two-year-olds and things. I hate drawing the one hole, and he knows that. And he says, I said, that's fine. The one hole's perfect. He says, where would you like to blow? I said, the one's fine. I said, you know, if we drew the six or seven, I'd be telling my rider to get down, save some ground, and take your best run. And, you know, we don't have to get down and save ground. We're there. So we can just ride the rail and hope to get a good break at the head of the lane and make something good happen.
Well, you look poised. You mentioned that you've got a busy night ahead. First post at Emerald, 5:03 Pacific, so 8:03 Eastern. The feature, the Long Acres Mile, goes at 11:30 Eastern. Before that, though, 10:52, the Emerald Distaff, and here you're sending the 9-5 favorite, Killarney Lass.
Right. Yeah, Killarney's a good filly. She won her last stake pretty easily, and she's kind of one of those when she shows up, she's won by 18 lengths, 14 lengths, nine. She won the Oaks by 9 lengths last stake here. She was literally galloping home the last 16th and won by 5. And she when she puts her race out there, you know, there's none of these fillies can outrun her. It's just a matter of she brings that, and she does have some bad days as well, but hopefully she'll have a good day today, and if she does, she should be 9-5.
Now, that don't kiss and tell could be okay for Tom Wenzel.
Yeah.
And then you've also got Patty Secret getting a try in here.
Right, yeah. Patty Secret, she's been disappointing this year. She ended up last year really on a good roll and winning a good allowance in the final stake here. And, you know, she's run twice here and just hasn't been able to get on track. And she can route really well. So, you know, I'm hoping that she does something good here. We switched riders just to try something, and she worked fabulous this last week. So, you know, I'm hopeful she brings a better race. I think that she could be right there if she comes back to, like, her last year form.
Well, and just a few of the others, and tell us who else you think in here that looks live today. Gallant Heat in the third, Rocket Power in the fourth.
I think Rocket Power is pretty live. Took a drop with him and tried to put him in a spot he could win, and Legitimate Cause is pretty live. Got a few good shots today. I'll tell you one thing, if I don't win a race or two today, I'm not going to be in a great mood. I don't take it home with me. I've learned over the years, but it's a lot funner, you know, showing up to work the next morning if you put a couple in the win column. But we've got some good shots today. We're live all day, and it's going to be a fun day. Hopefully the weather will be good. We've got a lot of smoke up this way and things going on in eastern Washington that's blowing over, but you know, the weather should be good and be a fun day.
Well, it's always a special day, the Long Acres Mile the handicap, and Frank Lucarelli, got to get you one. Not that you're retiring anytime soon, but
no.
today's as good a day as any to win a Long Acres Mile.
Yeah, you and I agree on that. I think today's a good day. I would be glad to get that one. Then you can work on number two, but I like to get number one, that's for sure.
You certainly deserve one. One of the top horsemen in the West. Not even going to confine it to the Pacific Northwest. Frank Lucarelli, get lucky tonight, all night long. And I really appreciate the visit.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Good luck.
Frank Lucarelli, everybody. There it is. We're going to do this. Casey, let's take the break, because we got a lot to do with Dick, and he'll end up, you know, we'll end up, you know, deep into the next half hour. So, yeah, let's take the break here and come back. We've got Dick Powell. We've got lots to do with Dick. We'll get you through the first couple of meetings at Shotin and Happy Valley. We'll get Dick's thoughts about how Saratoga wrapped up, and maybe some Derby thoughts, see how Dick's Derby Oaks weekend went. And, of course, Dick and Rich Eng, who we'll talk to later as well, and Gus, all with, you know, all with their BrisNet analysis. I hope everybody took advantage and did well with them. A little short of an hour. It's very unusual that we get out on a timely basis, right? Back after this, though, Dick Powell joins us, Tony Black, Steve Haskins, Steve Crist on his first win as an owner. He said it was better than any pick six hit. We'll see if he still feels that way a couple days later. Back after this, hour two.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
From BRL Equine, the people that bring you EPO Equine, Unlock, and Bleeder Shield, now comes Flexify HA, the most advanced scientifically based joint supplement on the market. To find out more, contact me, Joseph Vellante, at 215-501-6880. To be the best, give them only the best. BRL Equine.
Our Pennsylvania breeding program was, of course, impacted by the pandemic. Now, with our country getting back to work, we'd like to again talk about our program, the best in North America. Our breeder awards will remain up to 50% for PA-sired PA-breds. Owner bonuses will also stay at up to 40%. Restricted races will again be run at all three PA tracks, and PA Day at the races will return. I'm Brian Sanfratello. For more, please visit PABred.com.
From BRL Equine, the people that... If you are racing two-year-olds in California and Kentucky, please consider Bleeder Shield. The leading all-natural paste used to greatly reduce or eliminate EIPH. The list of trainers who trust Bleeder Shield is endless. Shouldn't you join the team? To learn more, contact Joseph Vellante at 215-501-6880.
SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick.